Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, baby!
Oh, a storm is a-brewing, and I'm not talking about what's going on outside. It's crazy. I'm talking about what's going on here on this week's edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. That is right. It's the show where we talk about each track from one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. And I'm ready to do this. I'm always ready to do this. You know me. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, do you feel the storm brewing?
But literally and figuratively, because up here in Canada, it is just a miserable day. It was minus 34 with the wind chill today. That's in Celsius, of course. I'm not sure what that is in American. But it was bone-chillingly cold here today and snowing and... the weather is awful, so I'm very glad to be inside and listening to some classic rock and roll. Probably a David Lee Roth song, the way things are going. So, you know what? Whatever. The wheel hates us, but I'm ready for whatever it throws up tonight.
I think the wheel is playing its own game while we play ours. But it's but if it must be Dave, then the ice cream man cometh, I guess. So I guess we'll find out. But before we do that, Corey, how's your week been?
You know, it is pretty good. I got together with some former brethren of ours of the Feeding the Monster podcast group on the weekend there. We had a little Christmas get together. Unfortunately, you couldn't make it, but we peppered you with texts all night long to let you know that you were missed.
Ah, yes. And I appreciate being missed and I appreciate being thought of. My night was spent not really enjoying fun festivities as I would have liked. It was more of, hey, let's get home because there's some storms coming about. Yeah, okay. Oh, the storms are already here. Okay, great. Maybe it's nothing. No, it's a tornado. We're coming right through. Matter of fact, we're coming right through where you are. By the time 3 a.m. rolled around, it was me rolling out of bed, carrying dogs and cats and girlfriend and everyone. Let's get downstairs into a safe spot so that we don't get any, God forbid, something happened to us while we're upstairs. Luckily, no housing damage whatsoever, but the tornado decided to bypass us and instead gave us a bolt of lightning that struck down a tree. That's right, a tree, a whole tree, a tree that has been there for 30 plus years. Now, well, not now anymore, but it was toppled over and landed on and around both of our vehicles. We were blocked off, couldn't get through. Her roof took most of the brunt of the tree itself. Basically could not get out of there until some chainsaws plural, multiple chainsaws were brought in by some very kindly folks in our neighborhood, some friends that knew how to operate it. Because listen, I'm a jack of many trades. A chainsaw operator is not one of them, unfortunately. Perhaps if I had been born in a place like Canada, I would have my chainsaw skills up to par. But alas,
they issue you a chainsaw right at birth, pretty much in Canada. So
I mean that you wrestle a bear just to see where you fall in line. I get it; it's fine. But alas, no, I was born in the southern U.S. We are never prepared for things like this. But the solace is nobody was hurt. The house was not hurt. Damage was minimal for us, but with the exception of the tree that fell over. But both cars drivable. Hers just has a really nasty dent in the roof, but that's being taken care of. And now we are not hurting for firewood. So the next time we decide to have a bonfire, it will be extraordinary.
Well, and thank God that you guys are all okay, and all the animals and everybody in the house and everything safe. If you can get away, and I've seen the pictures of the devastation, and even the pictures Mark put on his own Instagram and his Twitter and all that, the picture of the tree toppled over on the cars, it's scary stuff. So the fact that you got away with just one dent, pretty good. I had a little vehicular mishap, too, if anyone checks my Instagram.
Tell us about that.
I was heading up to the city, the big city of Regina, Saskatchewan, the city that rhymes with fun, to do some Christmas shopping and to get a doctor's appointment in, and doing 100 kilometers an hour, which is about 65 miles per hour. My passenger side front tire, it didn't go flat. It literally exploded. I'm very glad I was able to keep the truck on the road and not hit the ditch or roll or anything, because there was nothing left of it. If you see the pictures, it was pretty devastating. So yeah. For Christmas this year, I think everyone in my family is getting a new set of tires put on my truck, because that's pretty much what I spent all my money on.
I mean, believe me, my days as a courier have taught me that the expenses of tires do not come cheap. And even if you do skip out and go cheap, you're going to pay for it later, figuratively and literally. So, but I'm glad you're okay. I saw those pictures, that tire ceased to be, it was nigh, recognizable as a tire at that point. So it looked awful. So I'm glad you're good. Tires can be replaced, but man, that was scary stuff. So we've had an eventful week, you and I, for different reasons. But now comes the time in which we can sit back, relax, and jam, as it were, because we've got a song by the great Van Halen to dissect, to analyze, whatever it may be. The wheel seemed to think that we need all the Diamond Dave right up front. So as these episodes go on, it's just going to get more and more interesting and possibly not as fun. I don't know. But do you have any guesses for what the wheel might do? You think we're getting another Dave, or you think it's going to be different this time?
I'm giving up on this thing. I thought for sure there's no way I would have anticipated five Dave songs to start the thing off, and four of which we gave positive reviews to. We liked four of them. Even the fifth one wasn't too terrible. So I keep dreading we're going to have a run of just awful songs coming here. I know Mark and I are testing a new podcasting recording platform here today, so hopefully it's sounding okay. I know we've had some audio issues on the first five shows, but I'm hoping this will help clean it up. So we did a practice spin of the wheel, and on the practice spin, we actually got Fire in the Hole from Van Halen 3. So it was a Gary Cherone song, which would have been really cool to do, because I don't know a lot from that album. But because we got that on the practice swing, means we're going to get we're getting a Dave song. We're getting to Talk About Love or something. One of the bigger hits. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah. To be fair, I don't think most people are very familiar with the Gary stuff, because I think people just tuned out after that point. But you know what? I'm gonna wager a guess here, and I'm gonna say tonight is the first track that we get of the Sammy Hagar era.
All right. Now, are you hoping for a deep cut, or are you hoping for one of the singles?
I'm just hoping for a Hagar. That's all.
Hoping for a Hagar.
Yeah, that's my new tune.
An alternate title for the podcast, actually.
There you go. Yeah, be on the lookout for Spotify for that one. But let's see if my prediction will come true, or if we yet again will be thwarted, or maybe the wheel decides to, pardon the pun, spin us for a loop.
Oh, good one. All right, Sammy, give us something good, please.
Here we go.
We're getting a Gary Cherone song, Dirty Water Dog from Van Halen 3.
Wow. Dirty Water Dog. I can honestly tell you, I am not familiar with this tune at all.
Oh, me either. Not even close. I'm going to try and find some information on it, but I'm not real hopeful.
Well, we know it's from Van Halen 3. Which I believe is from the aforementioned Gary era.
Yep.
So, hey, how about that? The wheel decided once we primed it, it's like, yeah, we got Gary Cherone here, and we're gonna stick with that.
I can tell you Dirty Water Dog is the fifth track off of Van Halen 3.
Ah, right,
which
in
was the
11th
studio album by Van Halen, released March 17th, 1998. And it's also the last album to feature Michael Anthony, of course, because he got replaced by Wolfgang for 2012's A Different Kind of Truth.
Wow, I'm curious to know if Michael got. Do you think he knew ahead of time he was gonna that was gonna be his last album?
They've been having problems with Michael going as far back as 1984. Like it's such a weird dynamic because. They got all uppity because they thought Michael Anthony wasn't contributing enough. Originally, they were splitting the royalties to everything four ways, an equal share for everybody. But Eddie and Dave were pretty much writing all the music and everything. So they thought it was unfair that Michael Anthony was getting an equal share, even though you could also say the same thing for Alex Van Halen, who wasn't doing much of anything.
Is no one going to mention like Alex? Like, what about him? I mean, he does what he does, but I wouldn't say he contributes, at least from the surface. It doesn't seem like he contributes a whole hell of a lot in terms of the song. So,
no, by all accounts, Eddie locks himself away and writes the music. And then Dave, 10 minutes before dropping the track, would jump in there with the lyrics. But
must be. I wonder if it's because Alex is protected by the Van Halen name.
Oh, totally. Yep.
Could be that.
That's 100% it. But
the reason I ask.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. The reason I ask about if I wonder if Michael knew this was his last record with them, wonder if he decided to kind of go a little bit more hammy with his bass playing. I don't know.
And you know, he was only actually on three tracks on this album.
Without
You, When I Want, and Fire in the Hole, which were the three singles from Van Halen 3. Everything else was played by Eddie.
Well, then, so needless to say, in this track, we probably won't hear a hell of a lot of bass variants, you know what I mean? So, but I could be wrong. Maybe Eddie decided, you know what, since I'm playing this, let's see what I would do.
Well, I know one of the bones of contention with Eddie was, he was mad that he had to write Michael Anthony's bass solo that Micah played in concert every time Van Halen went out. And everyone kind of praised Michael Anthony for this great bass solo. And Eddie's like, hey, I'm actually the one that taught him how to play that note for note. He couldn't play that on his own. So, that's just what I heard. I'm sure Michael Anthony would have a different.
I guarantee you his side of it tells a different story, too. So, but, you know, band drama. What are you going to do?
And there's some big stuff in Van Halen. I know we were talking music documentaries, me and some friends, because we just watched Get Back, the Beatles documentary that Peter Jackson did. And it was really amazing. And I thought, what other band needs a Get Back type documentary made about him, and the easy answer is Van Halen. Like, if they could get everybody telling the truth and all sides of every story and put it in a documentary, there's so much drama in the Van Halen camp, that would be an amazing movie.
Oh, I would never stop watching it. Like, it could be 8 hours long and just a solid straight 8 hours, not broken up into parts or anything, just 8 hours, Zack Snyder style. And I'm there for it.
Oh, I would be too. That would be amazing. But, hey, you know what? Episode 6, it's our first non-Dave song. It's a Gary Cherone song. Is it Cherone or Cherone? I think it's Cherone, isn't it?
It's probably Cherone. Yeah.
No, so could be,
maybe it depends on what country.
Yeah, that's the Canadian pronunciation. But for those folks who have never heard of him, he was and is currently still lead singer of a little band called Extreme, which had a couple of big hits in the late 80s, early 90s. Do you want to play from the Bill and Ted soundtrack? Extreme 2 Pornography was their standout album. Fantastic album. It's one of my absolute favorites. They're still out there touring, also known for their virtuoso guitar player, Nuno Bettencourt. If you haven't heard Nuno, my God, he's maybe Eddie Van Halen 2.0. Like, he's pretty darn good.
That's the, not to go on a tangent about Extreme, but that's sort of what's interesting, is that everyone that is familiar with the band, they'll all say the same thing. They know two songs. They know Do You Want to Play? And then they, do you know More Than Words? Everyone knows More Than Words. And that, More Than Words, is what people think Extreme was or is. Like, they think that's what the band is. Like, oh, all their songs must be like that slow rock. It's like, no, they were so heavy. Like, and they were just, they're good, man. And just guitar virtuoso, absolutely. I implore all of you, if you're not familiar with Extreme's work other than More Than Words, check them out, man. They might surprise you.
Absolutely phenomenal. What do you say, Mark? I think we've yacked long enough. Should we get into Dirty Water Dog?
Well, let's give it a go.
All right. So a really extended intro there.
Yeah, this is the most non-Van Halen-esque intro that I've heard so far that I can recall with other tracks of theirs. So yeah, this is an interesting start, and it is a bit extensive.
Well, and kind of funny, compared to the other Dave stuff we've done here, already we're seeing some differences. We have an extended drum intro. This song is also 5 minutes and 30 seconds, which is really long for a Van Halen song. Usually the Dave stuff, you're clocking in, you know, three and a half. So already getting some different influences. And I'm just looking at iTunes has the credited writer of this song as being Eddie Van Halen, Gary Cherone, and Michael Anthony. So I guess the irony is he apparently co-wrote it and did not play on it.
Huh. Interesting. I wonder if he sang on it.
I don't know. Let's give it a listen.
Let's find out.
You almost think it's an instrumental at this point. We've gone for over a minute with no lyrics.
Well, maybe this is why the track is so long. It's because there's this enormously long intro. And at some point, I assume Gary's going to show up.
Now, I wanted to ask you, just because we're listening to the guitar in there, and like you said, we don't expect much in terms of a bass, you know, impressive bass playing. We're just getting the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, just kind of basic notes, but everything sounds a little thin. Even the guitar tone sounds a little thin, kind of a little off. What do you think of the production so far of this song?
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a wee bit timid for Van Halen, and that's not to say that other tracks they've done from other albums don't have that same kind of quality, but at the same time, like, no, not really. Timid is not what I would have described any of those other ones. This one, on the other hand, kind of, yeah, the production seems a bit not cheap. The word is not cheap. It's just subdued, if you will, if that's, you know, if that makes any sense whatsoever. But yeah, I'm curious. Did they change producers or who are they working with this time? Do we know?
Well, Ted Templeman famously did the David albums. I think they worked with different producers throughout the Sammy era. This is produced by his Eddie's friend Mike Post, who I don't know much about. I think okay. This is maybe his only album with the band. So
could be. All right. Well, maybe this is his first gig as a producer. Maybe he was just trying. You know, he's Eddie's friend. He has the capability of producing, probably. And then so Eddie said, "Hey, well, you know what? Come produce our new album. It's fine." And he's like, "Okay." And you find out real quick, those who can produce do it well, and those who cannot don't.
But I tell you what, on his resume, he produced Dolly Parton's hit 9 to 5 in 1981. So,
well, then I retract everything I said. Then, because forgive me, Mike Post's name was not familiar, but that is a very impressive credit to your name. But even so, now that I think about it, even so, 9 to 5 is not like the most overly produced track. You know, like I've heard other Dolly songs that feel a little bit more lively. That one's very, very simple, maybe not timid, but also it's a different genre of music. I don't know. Yeah, but going from Dolly to Van Halen seems a bit of a kind of a leap.
Yeah, and he had some Kenny Rogers in there too, like you said, kind of a leap from Kenny to Dolly.
He's also composed a lot of
TV theme songs, which I found interesting. He composed the themes to Law & Order, Law & Order SVU, The A-Team, NYPD Blue, The Rockford Files, LA Law, Quantum Leap, Magnum P.I., Hill Street Blues. This guy's done like every big...
He's composed these things?
Yeah.
He's the man behind the do-do-do-do-do in Law & Order?
Yep.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wow, then I just made myself look like a jackass because they're like, well, forgive me, sir, but, you know, good stuff. But, all right, well, you know, hey, everyone, not everyone's going to have a great day. Not everyone's going to have you can't have a highlight reel on your resume all the time. You're going to have a few duds. So, you know, maybe this one's a dud.
Now, he composed all those songs. He didn't produce them. So,
Okay, fair enough. So maybe maybe he's a better composer than producer. I don't know.
Maybe. And you know what? Actually, 1 minute into Dirty Water Dog, it kind of sounds like a TV theme song. Like it doesn't have much backbone to it.
Well, now that you put it that way, and now that you've listed some of his credits, man, I can't. First of all, you just threw me with he composed not only the Law & Order traditional themes, but Quantum Leap.
Yep.
Like also Quantum
LA
Leap.
Law.
That's insane.
Rockford Files, which has one of the greatest theme songs ever.
Yes. Oh, God. Wow. Well, you know what? his production ability be damned. I'm a big fan of this guy.
Yes, Mike Post is a legend. Let's see if he can save this track. We're 1 minute in. Let's see what we got coming up. All right, so that's the first chorus, and right away we've gone from David Lee Roth 10 minutes before, you know, recording the song, just scribbling down rhyming words, and we got a political song. Apparently he's talking about a candidate he would support, platforms, another accomplice slinging dirt, I don't belong to any race. Like, apparently this is a politically charged song, which we didn't get from the David era.
Right, and is it just me, or does it sound like Gary is trying really hard to make his voice fit into a Van Halen song? You know, I don't want to say he's doing an impersonation of Dave and or Sammy, but I've heard what the dude sounds like in Extreme, and this sounds very much not that. Am I crazy? Are you hearing it?
Oh, God, I agree 100%. He's okay. So much more subdued vocally than anything that Extreme has done. Like, he's so bombastic and out there on pretty much every Extreme song I've ever heard. And here he's lower in the mix, but he's very just monotone, and he's just kind of trying to fit in that pocket as opposed to rising above it. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's almost like he's trying to, to me, anyway, from how I'm hearing it, it's almost like he's trying to do an amalgam of both Sammy and Dave and get the best of both worlds. But it just kind of comes across as him doing an impression, and not a good one.
No, and that's not what I hear from Gary Cherone. I'm hoping that when we get to the chorus here, he unleashes his vocal range, because he's a tremendous singer.
Yeah, well, let's find out.
All right. I've got the ball in the realm of the I was feeling a little like a sinker. I thought it meant to the body individual. Preoccupied, pure with the physical. Again, so we went from political lyrics to peeping Tom, peeping on girls and being generally a creepy dude. Really weird. And you talked about, he sounds like a cross between Dave and Sammy in a way. I really heard it on that second segment there.
Yeah.
When Heavy Light is the Way of the World. Because I thought I was listening to Sammy Hagar there for a minute.
Yeah, or like Sammy having like a bad vocal day.
Yeah.
And see, this is what's like, I'm baffled by this, but I guess now it all makes sense why none of my friends, anybody that I know, when they talk about Van Halen, they absolutely don't talk about this album, this era whatsoever. And now it's becoming clear. And as you said, Gary is a tremendous vocalist in Extreme for sure. I'll even throw in, their biggest hit, More Than Words, him and, I'm blanking on the guitar player's name.
You know, Ben.
Thank you. Their harmonies, like just their vocal ability in that song alone, completely blows away anything of what he's doing here. Not to mention the rest of their catalog. I don't understand what. I don't know if it's because the song is like the timbre of the song is built a specific way, or because it is a bit subdued. It is a bit, to me, it sounds timid, but I don't know. I still feel like he could have done something to really let his voice soar. And we're not even done with the song yet. We're just now into the first chorus, and I'm just kind of going, really, Gary? Really?
Well, and I always like to look at a song lyrically to see if it tells a story, makes any sense whatsoever. It
doesn't seem
from a political vibe to now just, I'm a creepy guy who likes girls, and it's it doesn't really fit together. I wonder what we're going to get in the third verse. This is going to be Boy, Mark, your thoughts on that solo?
I thought the solo was going to do what it did with our last episode. I thought the solo was going to save the day. I did not feel saved with this solo. It sounded very much like Eddie. He went full whammy bar, like, you know, he is one to do, with some pitch harmonics in there as well. So cool, fine. But it still didn't feel like a grand Eddie solo. And I get it. Sometimes you can't get a grand Eddie solo in every single track. You're just not going to get them. As long as the track can stand alone, it can stand by itself without it. I was kind of hoping this song was going to be uplifted by the solo. I'm not quite sure it did. What do you think?
It didn't work for me. I kind of sensed a tempo change coming, and we got that, and it got a little slower. I wasn't minding the groove of the song until we hit that tempo change. It's like, oh, this feels kind of disjointed.
Yeah. Alex, whatever that little drum fill he did really, like, threw me for a loop. I was like, whoa. I'm sure it was on tempo, and, you know, everything was fine, but it sounded and felt really weird. So, I don't know
Alex
what you're
is
doing
for that. Actually, as I'm getting out my drums and I'm playing more, I'm playing along to different drummers, and some of Alex's stuff is known for that, where he throws in this kind of weird fill, mm-hmm. In kind of a weird spot, and it's tough to play. I guess it sets them apart, but I don't know if it makes the song better.
That's the key, isn't it? I don't know that it serves this song very well. I can tell you that. And again, I'm just, I can't get over what the hell Gary's doing, or not doing, rather. But yeah.
All right, well, we got a minute 30 left. Let's try and ride this one out.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Gotta love a good long fade out. I gotta tell you, I didn't mind the ending there. It kind of got into a neat little groove, and we got some pretty cool bass playing, apparently from Eddie Van Halen, along with the guitar. And Alex was pretty, he wasn't disjointed on that little ending bit. I don't know if it's enough to save the song for me, though. I didn't like much of anything up to that point, but that last little bit I was into.
I do think Michael's contribution is probably that high harmony on the chorus. I don't know, unless Gary did it himself, but it feels like that was probably Michael. And I also agree with you about that sort of ending little outro, whatever it is. I dug that groove. I liked what Eddie was doing there on bass. That was cool. Why don't you give us a little more of that if you're going to take on the track? But now we come to it. Corey, about this song, this is our first of the show so far. This is our first track that is not Dave. The first time it's finally happened. And we got a Gary track. So what say you about, I've already forgotten the name of it. Dirty Water Dog?
Dirty Water Dog.
Dirty Water Dog. God!
No! God damn it, baby! No, I ain't lying to you!
Hey, man, don't be squirting water at me!
This song is weird. It's so disjointed. It's like three different songs that they mushed together, not cohesively, that I wasn't really a fan. The chorus was okay. And the ending little jam I liked, so it wasn't a complete failure, but lyrically it's stupid as hell and kind of creepy, even though I'm a heterosexual man too, who doesn't mind looking at ladies, we had political, we had dirty water dog and a bird. Lyrically, this thing was weird. Musically, this thing was weird. I got to give it a no.
I went into this thing with a very open mind. Because as I mentioned, I am unfamiliar with Van Halen 3. I was unfamiliar with Gary's run in the band. I had never heard anyone particularly like this version. But I know of Gary Cherone's work. I know what he can do vocally. And on the surface, just like a lot of people thought, it probably would be a pretty cool match. And maybe this track isn't the one to do it justice, but this is the track that was chosen. And therefore, my vote...
Oh, God! No! God damn it, baby! No, I ain't lying to you!
Hey, man, don't be squirting water at me!
I echo everything you said. I would throw in also, this track is kind of boring. Yeah. Like I was not having fun listening to this song whatsoever. And it has nothing to do with the fact that we are not in a party mode era Van Halen, you know, with Diamond Dave, whatever. No. I maintain that some of their best songs are from the Hagar era. And not all of them are about partying. Most of them are not about partying whatsoever. So it's not that. It's just this song did nothing for me as a Van Halen fan, as a rock music listener. This did nothing except kind of bum me out. Also, if I didn't know that it was Gary Cherone of Extreme doing vocals on this album, and you gave me this song, I would right up automatically turn it off and go, I don't know who the guy is doing the awful David Lee Roth / Sammy Hagar impression is, but he's awful. Get him out of there. And then you told me it was Gary Cherone, I'd be like, you're lying. That's a lie. No chance. But alas, here we are. No, and it really doesn't. It just, I don't know why he decided to do that. Now I'm worried that the rest of the album is going to follow suit. So if that's the case.
I remember Fire in the Hole. I think it was from, it was in a Lethal Weapon movie too, if I remember correctly. I remember that.
Oh, that's the one. Yeah, that's the one they did for Lethal Weapon 4.
Yeah.
Which. But, yeah, because it had a video, too. I remember some commercials or promo videos, whatever, talking about, like, new Van Halen album. And I was like, they're back. Cool. And they're like, that doesn't look like Sammy or Dave. Who is that? I didn't know what Gary looked like at the time. But yeah, no, this is just, this ain't the one. There might be, when we listen to Fire in the Hole eventually, and there might even be some other gems, some little diamonds in the rough, no pun intended there. Then I might change my tune, as it were. But for Dirty Water Dog, that's going to be a no dog for me. No, no, no.
Yep, not feeling it, not feeling it. But I am glad that we got something new.
It's true. It's true. We, I was not correct in my prediction, but that's okay. We have more tracks to follow.
Yes, it wasn't a Dave song. So I'm very
no, it wasn't. We got a we got a respite. Yeah. Yeah, we got a brief respite from Dave for a little while. As far as I'm concerned, we can probably take a long hiatus for a while because the more we keep doing Dave tracks, the more we're gonna just, you know, blow our wad, as it were, about the great hits that they have. We've already talked about a couple.
Yep.
But you know the ones. We're not ready for that yet. We're not gonna do that. We're gonna push on through. This one was a stinker for us. We are curious to know what you, the audience, think, though. How did you feel about our analyzation, as it were, about the track? How do you feel about the track itself? Are you a fan? Do you like this album? If you do, hit us up. We have a Twitter. It's at and the podcast will rock, I believe.
At podcast will rock.
At podcast will rock, without the and. Yeah, hit us up on Twitter. Let us know. Share this episode. Listen to it. We are, I believe, everywhere now. I think everywhere you get podcasts, you can find us. Speaking of that, Corey let me in on something kind of cool about our podcast. Do you remember what that was?
I got an email informing us that we were ranked 28th in the country of Canada on Apple Podcasts in the category of music commentary. Podcasts in general, we were in the top 250, which is a pretty good start. But
I'll take it.
Yeah,
top 30 in the rock category. That's, you know, in Canada. Look, Canada's got a happening rock scene. Some of the greatest bands in the world come from Canada. So I'm calling that a win. But let us know, share it. Let us hit us up on the Twitter, and then if you want to hit us up individually, Corey, where can they find you?
They could find me at CD Morset on Twitter and Instagram. By all means, let us know if I missed the mark on Dirty Water Dog. Maybe it's a classic and I'm just not looking at it through the right lens. But let me know. Let me know what you like to see on the show here.
And you can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. All my drummer friends and drummer enthusiasts out there who think I am just out of line for the things I'm saying about Alex Van Halen, please let me know. I know that you will, regardless, and that's totally fine. But feel free to hit us up and let us know how we're doing and how you feel about these tracks, because I guarantee you we are not the only ones with some hot takes on particular songs in the Van Halen catalog. It's quite extensive. Well, you guys, that'll do it for this episode. The holiday seasons are here. They are approaching. Be safe out there. Mind the weather of all forms, because it's crazy. It's a mess, and we can't figure it out. We just can't figure it out. I had a coat on all week except for today. Doesn't make any sense. It's fine. It's December. But nevertheless, you may not be able to count on the weather, but you can count on us to give you all your rock needs met here at And the Podcast Will Rock, and we will rock you later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.